And it's 1 Chronicles 16 and it's 12 to 22 and 419 in your Bibles. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced, you servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones, or do my prophets, and do my prophets no harm. This is the word of the Lord. Praise God.
In a moment, Dave's going to come and speak to us. It's going to be the second in our series of raising our hands. Do you remember we started with what's in our hands a few months ago, probably July, I think it was. And then we thought about being in God's hands. And then I've missed one, but we're now in let's raise our hands. Let's be a people of praise. Let's remember to just give thanks to him and put on that garment of praise in the morning instead of a spirit of despair. So, Dave, we love it when you come to preach. We love your heart. We love your passion for Jesus and that people would know his love. So let's pray for you. So, Lord, we pray for Dave and we pray for ourselves too. And we pray, Lord, that you will use his words to speak truth into our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Morning, everybody. It's great to be back here. I haven't been here for a few weeks, so I'm sorry I haven't been around, really, because I've just been away doing other things. But this is a significant day, isn't it, to be here? And I remember a couple of years ago now, I did some speaking for some army chaplains at a chaplain training college. And that was, I learned more than I gave out, I think, really. But I learned the story of Theodore Hardy, who was a First World War army chaplain. And there's a painting of him in the college because he won several medals, actually. He won the DSO, the Military Cross, and the Victoria Cross for his bravery in helping the men. And he was an army chaplain. And I'd never heard of him. So if you want to find out more, look him up. But there's lots of stories. There's another chaplain called Woodbine Willie, who more people have heard of. But he was inspired, Theodore Hardy, by Woodbine Willie, who said to him, go and be with the men. That's where you should be. And that's what he did. And I'm hopeless telling stories. It always gets to me. Right, okay. So this is just a similar version of the passage you've just heard. And I really just want to, the passage is one where they're remembering, they're looking back. It's very appropriate for today, actually, isn't it? They're looking back and they're saying, this is what God did. And they go into great detail because it really matters. And one of the great biblical themes is keep reminding yourself of this God that you follow. And one of the ways you do that is you look back and you go, remember when God did this? Remember when God did that? You know, and I guess today we hear what we call testimonies, don't we? People tell their stories. And that's a way of remembering and reminding ourselves who God is. And that's what this passage is doing. This is looking back on something vital that happened in their nation. So I want to just take those lines of think of the wonderful works he has done, the miracles, the judgments he handed down. Think on those things. And just for a moment this morning, when we think about lifting our hands in praise, lifting our hands, asking God for things, but reminding ourselves, this is the God who we are serving, following, who cherishes us, thinks we're incredible, and gave everything for us, really. So that's our fence, which you might not have expected to come up now, but We were painting it this summer. It's part of our house, obviously. It wasn't someone else's fence. We didn't just nip into their garden and start painting it. We were all working hard. I was holding the camera, as you can see. But I did do some of the painting as well. But the reason I want to show you this is because there's a couple of stories I want to tell you about this. My wife and I, my family, we kind of live by faith. I don't call it that because lots of things happen that support us. I'm a writer and I sell books. But part of it is that also we rely on people who want to support what we do. And for several years, when we began 7 years ago, there was a family who gave very sacrificially to us, which basically paid our rent. It was an extraordinary thing. It just came completely out of left field. It was amazing. And it was exactly what we needed at that point. And then there came a point where things changed for this family. They were doing something else. And I'd always known perhaps one day this would happen. So it came to that point, and I was thinking, well, okay, I wonder what that means for us now. And I was reading the story of Hezekiah, 1 Kings 18 and 19. They basically had a massive crisis in the nation. The enemy came, and it's when you read the enemy's speech, it's terrible. Because they even make up things like they say, guess what? The God you serve has sent us to annihilate you. They even say things like that. So they're really eating into their goodwill and their, you know, the sense of their who they are as a nation, the God who loves them. The enemies, it's just eating away into that. So Hezekiah goes to Isaiah. He takes it before God, and he gets this great message about how God's going to deliver them. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll just lay all this before God, where we've reached at the moment. So I kind of did. Probably got out some bank statements or something like that. But, you know, I just sort of prayed about it all, laid it before God. And then I kind of almost forgot that I'd done that. But not very much later, a few days later, we got a message, an email saying that our rent had gone down. Not our rent, it's our mortgage. But our mortgage payments had gone down a long way. Now, that's how it's like for us, isn't it, in life? God sometimes works secretly behind the scenes. Who'd have thought he worked through a bank? There you go. But, you know, that for us was part of our story. That's part of our remembering. That means so much to me. The family that gave us all that money so we could pay our rent, and that when that stopped, our mortgage changed. And I think this is where practically the rubber hits the road for us, doesn't it, for all of us. Remember those things, even if they're tiny, that you sense God was in, that he was doing for you. Before we began doing this work, we worked at Lee Abbey, and a lady came up to us just before we left, and she said, I think I've got a word for you from God. And it was very simple, and it was this: God will make a way for you. Now, that word has meant so much, because it kind of doesn't say, oh, God's always going to make it easy, God's always going to give you loads of money, God's going to give you loads of work. It's not. It's much simpler. God will make a way for it to happen for you. And that's been our story. And that, again, is something I look back on and I hold on to. And sometimes, you know, go to God and say, well, you promised. Well, how's the way? You know, how are we going to keep forward now? Keep going forward now. But, you know, God will make a way. Maybe that's an encouragement for someone this morning. God will make a way for you. You know, I'm not promising. I'm just offering that as one of the things that might be an encouragement to you. So I can tell you lots more stories about our houses, actually. It's been quite amazing the way God has sorted all that out and continues to. But I thought, you know, just to earth what I'm talking about, really, you know, think back. Maybe think back now, because there'll be a moment in a minute where I'll give you a second just to reflect on some of remembering and reflecting the way God has been at work in your life. I love this little story about two pints of beer. I'm always looking for weird stories where God's at work. And I was speaking earlier this year on Raging Grace, which I kind of see as God's weird and wonderful and sometimes extreme ways and sometimes tiny ways of reaching into people's lives. And so I was speaking on a conference over several days. And so I said, you know, have a think. If you've got any stories of grace coming into your life you want to share with everybody, there'll be chances to do that. So this guy said, well, he was in a pub before he was a Christian with his mate. And this stranger came up to them and said, I want to buy you both a pint of beer. I don't want to sit down and talk to you. I don't want to drink it with you. Just want to buy it for you. I'm a Christian. That's why I'm doing it. He went away. And they sort of agreed. They thought, well, it's free beer. what can be so bad? And then a different guy came up to the table with the two pints in his hand. He put them down. He went, apparently, these are from God. And he walked away. But you know, that sort of really, really impacted him. Really, God can use anything, can't he? And for him, it was a start. And more than a start, actually. I mean, it was very much on his journey to becoming a Christian. But what he's now thinking, reflecting on it, is he's trying to think of lots of out of the ordinary ways we can bring God's grace to people. He started a website. You know, what are the unexpected ways that we might go, well, because we want to share God's grace with people, let's do that. You know, let's do this. Let's do the unexpected things, you know. I remember a few years ago, I read a book called Random Acts of Kindness by a comedian called Danny Wallace. And Danny Wallace started a, he put a little ad in a paper called Join Me. And he didn't say what it was. People were joining. He just wanted to see if anyone would respond. And thousands of people responded. And then he thought, what am I going to do with all these people? And so he decided to do this Random Acts of Kindness thing. He said, let's make the world better, not worse. And so he said, when you've done it, send me your stories. And that's what the book was, the stories. And he had all sorts of wacky things in, like, go to a fast food machine, buy a packet of crisps, and leave them in the bottom. And just walk away and leave them for whoever comes next. And there was other things, far more, I would never do this, but far more demanding. But stand outside a hairdresser's, and when the first person who's clearly had their hair done comes out, go, you look fantastic. Try it. But, you know, I mean, these things appeal to me. You know, I don't want to do them just because I don't want to be nice. But I do them because I get a sense this is God working through Jesus, working through us in the world. And sometimes, like the guy with the pints, it makes them think, why? What is going on here? Why would that guy buy some pints in the name of God and then just leave them and walk away, you know? So we never know, do we, what God will use. And that's what I wanted to throw out to you, just to reflect for a moment on, might be really small, tiny ways, but or might be some significant part of your journey as a Christian. I wonder what way you can think of this morning as we remember and reflect, not just so we can look back and be nostalgic, but so that today it inspires you, it strengthens you, it lifts you up, and you say, yeah, this is the God I'm serving. Just take a few seconds just to reflect. You may already have thought of one. You won't have to tell other people, by the way, so don't feel that pressure at all. But just have a reflection a moment. I'll say a little prayer about that and then tell you the next thing that I thought we could do. Lord, I thank you for what people have thought on this morning. Thank you for the different ways that your grace has come into our lives. Maybe for some of the folks, now they feel like they're in a desert and they haven't seen your grace in a good long while. Lord, I pray that their recollection and remembrance this morning will help them in some way. And Lord, I pray for folks who are in a desert at the moment, that there will be a fresh glimpse of you at work, Lord, in the coming days, in the coming weeks and months, please. But Lord, thank you that we have your word, which is not only our own reflections, but the reflections of the people of God, of how you are at work and continue to be at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I got inspired by The Mayor of Bogota this year. Another book, actually, by Danny Wallace. He's a great theologian, Danny Wallace. Not at all, but he's a comedian. But he wrote a book all about rudeness and how it really, really diminishes people's ability to do their jobs and all that kind of thing. Apparently, someone told me as well that when you get angry, you lose about 60% of your brain power, which is why people do such ridiculous things, actually, when they're angry, and then look back and think, why did I do that? But the mayor of Bogota changed his city by giving people thumbs-up cards. It was one of many things he did. But when he became mayor, nobody cared about the place or the people. Nobody cared at all. So he got thousands of thumbs up and thumbs down cards made. And he said, next time you see somebody doing something kind or good, give them a thumbs up. If you see them doing something that's unkind or rude or negative, give them a thumbs down. So I thought, I like that. I haven't got any thumbs down cards, you'll be pleased to know. But I have got some thumbs up cards. What they do is they say, well done, I really like what you did there. And I thought maybe this morning, there might be somebody you've known for ages. You just think, do you know what? It's brilliant what you do. Or maybe they've done something kind recently for you. Or you just want to say, you know, you're a great friend or you're a great inspiration to me. Whatever, you know, anything in that realm, really. There's some baskets here with you. You can take a couple if you want and just give them to the person or write something on the back as well. Or just stick it on your wall to remind you how powerful encouragement is, because it makes such a difference in people's lives. So, just thinking this morning about remembering what people have done, what God has done, the grace brought into our lives, often through other people, you might just want to pass on a little card. So feel free to take one or two at the end of the service to do that. Now, I think I've got time to do this. Sometimes, of course, when we look at the reflections of God's grace and deliverance in the Bible, it brings a challenge as well, doesn't it? You know, sometimes perhaps some of the things you've thought on this morning, there was also part of that which was a challenge to keep moving on with God or to do the same thing for somebody else, you know, to pass on the grace you've received. So this is a little moment from the film The Help. And I love this moment because in The Help, this is Abilene, and she's been asked by a writer called Skeeter to write a book about the black maids. Basically, they are the help. And they don't have a good life, really. They have a very difficult life. And Skeeter wants to write their stories of the maids so that other people know. But it's very dangerous. You can get killed for it. Your house can get bombed. Your car can get bombed, whatever. So she says no. She won't do it. It's too scary. And then she goes to church.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. God, having asked Moses to free the Israelites, Moses answered, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." See, courage isn't just about being brave. Courage is daring to do what is right in spite of the weakness of our flesh.
That's right.
And God tells us, commands us, compels us to love. Amen? See, love, as exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ, is to be prepared to put yourself in harm's way for your fellow man. And by your fellow man, I mean your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your friend, and your enemy. See, if you can love your enemy, you already have the victory. Let's stand. All right.
Victory is mine.
Up on State Street. I caught a cab here, like you asked.
Got to drive two streets over? What if you don't like what I got to say about white people?
This isn't about me. It didn't matter how I feel.
So she agrees to do it. And it always fascinates me with that clip. You know, you think of Moses. Here's this guy, thousands of years before, completely different culture, completely different background, completely different situation, and bang, God takes it and he speaks to Abilene, who's a woman from another culture, another time, doesn't have the power or the strength of Moses, and yet God goes, that story of remembrance, that's for you. Now come on, Abilene. You know, and I just think that's part of the challenge of the Bible, isn't it? There are loads of passages in the Bible that we can read where it says, remember God is like this, remember God is like that, remember, remember. But those passages are often given to say to people, now take another step. Let's do the next thing, because this is the God that we know and love and serve, really. So I think I just want to leave you really with that thought and that story. There's a great moment actually in the book, The Help, where early on, it's not in the film, but Aveline talks about how she prays. And she says that she knows that Skeeter wants to talk to her. And she knows that Skeeter's thinking about writing a book. So she's not going to pray for Skeeter, because that might mean she's got to do something. So I love that moment. I'm not going to pray for her, because it might mean that God is going to demand something of me. And that kind of nice little moment of understanding that when we pray for people, sometimes we are the answer to our prayers, aren't we, really? So I'll just say a little prayer and leave you with those thoughts. Lord, thank you for everybody here this morning. Thank you that you have called us to follow you, not in the ways that other people follow you necessarily, not trying to be something we're not, but in the jumble of our lives and the ordinariness and the reality of day-to-day living. So Lord, I pray that those remembrances of your grace coming into our lives will help people throughout this week. And Lord, if there's a challenge as part of that too, help us have courage, Lord, please. We need your help with that. In Jesus' name.